And the recording is started. The recording is started, and welcome everybody. Welcome to Nightly Healing. My name is Vicki. I'm the founder of Nightly Healing, and I welcome you with all my heart. Nightly Healing is a place where we can come 365 days a year to just stop for a moment. Just stop and step out of the dramas and the traumas and the ups and the downs and just take a deep breath and relax. We get so caught up in the lives that we're living that we don't take a moment to de-stress, to be here just for you. So just be here just for you for this half hour and or maybe longer. I don't know. The calls usually run half an hour, 45 minutes. And we have a very special guest tonight. I just want to remind everybody that we're not doctors, we're not diagnosticians, we're not therapists. At least we are not here in that capacity. We are here because we're walking this path too. And we're here just to share with you what we've learned along the way and to be embraced by you as well as embrace you. So tonight, I love who we have on, a very special person who hopefully will become a presenter on a Nightly Healing on a more regular basis. His name is Neil Delstrother, and Neil joined us for the first time when we were doing support calls for Radical Healing Journey. And once I got to know Neil a little bit and heard him speak, I invited him to come back onto Nightly Healing outside of the Radical Healing so that he could be a presenter for us and embrace us with his wisdom. Neil is an author. He's written 4 books. He's a freelance writer. He's a journey practitioner for more than 12 years. He's been in it longer than me. He's a podcast host where he does his own interviews of very well-known people. And like he says, most importantly, he's a father. And he's, you know, just welcome, Neil. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. It's lovely, lovely to be here. I feel after that rousing start, I've got a high bar to fill now.
You know, Neil, I've waited quite a while to get you back on here, so thank you for stepping out and coming back on. And you guys, Neil is speaking to us from the UK. So, you know, it's quite a time difference and, you know, a beautiful essence of us beginning to have presenters from around the world. And I just cherish that, Neil. We have people listening from around the world, and to have presenters, it's like a net of love wrapped around us. So thank you.
Well, thank you. That's fantastic.
So, Neil, tonight's presentation, I had asked you what you would like to do, and you mentioned the jewels of grief.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could just speak to us a little bit about that and tell us about that. Because, you know, for me, sometimes I feel like I live with a constant grief. You know,
yeah.
I let it go and everything, but honestly, there is a, sometimes I feel like it's just part of my essence. And it's a gift, but it still can be very sad. And so please, speak to us.
Yes, well, that, you know, what you've just said, I think beautifully, beautifully segues in what I'm going to talk about, really. And it is this, essentially in there, even in the words you say, there's an element of this, I feel this seed, this desire we have somehow not to have grief. And, you know, the very fact that it's seen as sad and so on, and obviously it is sad, it becomes one of these sort of feelings that we feel is unpalatable and somehow we want to get away from. And I think I've spent a lot of my life in that place, and I think that's what I'd like to sort of talk about in a way, and a lot of my understanding that's come from that, and how over the years that's changed, and this is why I call it the jewels of grief, because the grief itself, as I say, is something that's just, you know, we don't want these feelings that we perceive as bad. We really don't. And there's such an urge to say, you know, especially when we experience some sort of trauma, you know, certainly someone dying or something. I mean, it's such a difficult thing to deal with. And yet, you know what? Something about that is a doorway as too. And I think that's what I want to talk about. And I'm going to give a little bit of background, my background, and move really into what I'm going to talk about there. And I suppose the story for me begins in this respect. When I was 21, my mother died of cancer. And it was a time of unbelievable turmoil for me. I mean, it was so intense to watch her die. And I wasn't ready, like, I don't know whether we were ever ready for that sort of thing. And I had the most terrible grief. And what I didn't really do at the time, what I wasn't actually able to do at the time, was to actually be with it. I was in shock. I felt removed from life. I felt like I was kicked and pushed into another dimension almost of misery, but a sort of resistant misery. Perhaps I was depressed, I guess I was. I certainly felt anxious, scared, alone. I felt all of these things, and I was holding on, just not allowing. It was this desire that, you know, if I could just keep away from it, it wouldn't get to me. This absolute desire that if I could just, you know, if I can stay away from it, if I can keep it away, if I can lock it behind the door, then you know what, I'll be all right. And I think this is something that's very pervasive. We all sort of will nod and say, of course, that's not the way to do it. But you know what? I think we so often do it. And it's so pervasive with all of these, what we call negative feelings. But grief to me is such a wave, such a part of life. And this is what you were saying. And for me, this is absolutely true. It is the great ocean, the great ebb and flow. The grief is there in all of it. So anyway, going back to that, the grief was not flowing at all then. I was not allowing that ebb and flow. And instead, I just felt crap. You know, I don't know how to use words like that in English parlance. I just felt rubbish. So, you know, and like people do, like we all do, I tried even harder not to feel the rubbish. I tried to drive it away. I tried to deny it. I tried to pretend it didn't exist. I went out. I did stuff. I don't know, met girls, got drunk, did all the usual stuff that you do. I was young bloke. But all the time there was this grief there. Not acknowledged, not felt really, but it was there. But I shut the door on it because it was not, I just didn't want to feel it. I didn't want to feel that way. I didn't want my time to be ruined by it. And so in a sense, there's a logic to that. There's a logic to refusing it, a logic to locking the door, to not feeling this way. And I think, you know, one thing that when I was thinking about this that came to me, you know, what are all these antidepressants, if not that? They're keys that lock doors. They're things that make us think, well, if we hide this stuff away behind the door, if we artificially, in whatever way, make ourselves feel good, then perhaps we're fine. And I think in my own way I did that, not through pills, I'm glad to say, but, you know, through displacement activities, whatever it is. So, you know, I tried to nullify grief. I tried to deny it. I tried to make it nothing. The thing is that I didn't, because part of me knew, as part of all of us knew and know, that, you know, that this isn't possible, that this grief is always there. And like you said at the beginning, it is part of all of our lives. And I knew somewhere in me, even in this dislocation I felt at this time, and this was over a number of years, I'm talking between 20 and probably, in reality, I'm probably talking 10, 15 years. I knew through this time that there was a secret in this. There was something there that needed to be felt, and not in my head. I mean, my head was just trying to get away from it. But, you know, in my heart, and there's no denying that in the heart. And I didn't know what it was that was in this, and I didn't know how to feel this grief. And but something kept calling me to explore. So I did counselling, which wasn't really for me. I did some shamanic work, which I found wonderful and still occasionally do and love. And then I read Alice Miller, who is an incredibly insightful child psychologist who really started expressing the pain that we deny of our children and the way that we perceive it as adults and the way really, I mean, one of her books, in fact, is called the Unlocked Door, Unlocked Key or something like that. Anyway, something like that. And Untouched Key, maybe. And it's this feeling that, you know what, it's there, but we're just all not prepared to reconnect with our grief, with our experience. And I also did the journey, which is something I'm a practitioner in now, but that's, you know, and that for me was a real eye-opener. So, you know, so this grief there was all the time. And then when I did, eventually when I came to the journey, and I'm not advertising the journey, it could just as easy be, you know, anything. So it could be Reiki, it could be meeting your cousin, whatever. But for me, it was the journey. When I started doing that, what I found was that this sea of grief instantly was pierced, and suddenly the tears ran and ran and ran and ran. And there was something like, I suppose, a lifetime of this grief that just was running through from me. And it was then that I realized, in this just utter, utter devastating grief that I experienced then, the grief that I was holding for my mother, of course, for my mother. But it wasn't only for her, it was, you know, it's for a childhood, it was for all sorts of events. It's just a grief. And at the time, I attributed it to events, I attributed it to different things. And I felt it as, you know, this happened, therefore I was grieving. But the grieving, of course, is not, you know, it's not coming through at that sort of logical level. It's the body expressing itself. And even in that first moment, I realized that there were so many gifts, so many jewels in this grief. And actually, I thought at that moment that this grief would flow through me as it was at that time, and that would be it. It would be like the reservoir emptying, and then suddenly, you know, the whole world would be full of light, and that would be that. But over time, I've come to realize that isn't quite how it works. Or you know, maybe it's not even about that, working or not. But what I realise is that, and this comes back to the comment you were making, that everything is endued with grief. Everything passes. Everything is therefore endued, as I say, with grief. And it's got absolute, and that includes love. It's an aspect of love. Love is also endued inevitably with our grieving, with grief itself. And without the openness to the grief, without the openness to death, and this is death of all things, even of each breath, then there is no love, or there is no openness to love. There is, of course, love exists, whether we are open to it or not. But the realization I had that grief, as opposed to, say, well, perhaps all feelings, but grief specifically, I think, because it has a subtlety, and it actually has an incredible beauty to it. I think it's the beauty of the twilight, the dawn. It's that moment of moving and passing. And this love and grief, as we experience them, they're totally linked. They're like the sunlight and the moonlight, I think, of our existence. And yet, we so often shy away from it. And in that, we're denying the beauty. We're not seeing its beauty. We're not seeing the beauty of the world. But the beauty of the world is absolutely, and the beauty of our lives, is so much to do with its passing. Our separation from the wholeness and our return to the wholeness, the beauty of the separation is in its passing, in the fact that it is last. And yet, at the same time, of course, we utterly fear that. And it's so difficult, therefore, to say and to somehow embrace what we feel in a way is actually inviting us to death. And it's almost like saying, well, by inviting grief, we're not going to live forever. But that, of course, we're not going to live forever. And it's a movement into acceptance. We're not going to live together or forever in this human existence anyway. And it has a sensitivity, I think. And this sort of unbearable, sort of apparently unbearable message that we will die, that all things will pass, we're so keen to deny. And I think if I just relate that back to my mother dying, for example, the shock of that, and the utter devastation, it was, you know, in some level a denial of her death altogether and what that meant. And this sort of sledgehammer blow to my, the sort of, what one would hope would be a sort of hopeful outlook for a 20-year-old, 21-year-old. And, you know, we don't want this death in our lives. So, of course, we shy away from tragedy and pain. But, you know, there's little we can really do about it, about this will happen or not happen. I mean, everybody, if you live long enough, people will die. So, you know, our attempts to shy away and our attempts not to feel this grief, our attempts to just feel happy in the sense of up and joyous, and happy in this sort of plastic way, is just not going to work. It doesn't work. It's a denial of what life is, and it's this opening the doors into these areas of grief and other areas of pain, this saying yes to the fact that the deal of a full life of living is also hurt and grief. And any attempts to shy away causes more pain, because they create emptiness, they create dislocation, they create this great curse, really, of the West, I suppose, but also probably elsewhere, I don't know. But to attempt to put an end to the idea of death, put an end to the idea of passing and pretend that it doesn't even exist, and ultimately to stop grief, to feel like grief doesn't exist anymore. And it's not just a big grief. It's not just that somebody dies and there's a big grief, but it's not just about these big things. It's also the passing of the moment. It's also the letting go of the past. It even can be grief for things that we hope would happen in the future, but because of certain decisions, it's not going to happen. I again, when I was thinking about this, I remember that song, which I'll probably get wrong, but, you know, at the age of 37 or whatever it is, I knew I wouldn't go down the Champs-Élysées with a open-top car with the air in my hair or something. So I hope people listening will know the words better than me. But the point, that huge melancholic feeling of, but it's a beauty of melancholy. There's just a depth in that that is just so stunningly beautiful. And yet, bizarrely, our drive is to fear it often. And yet, there's the stunning beauty of that, the sunset and the sea, and this feeling of it just dissolving into this end. That is where this grief is. And there's such depth to that, such beauty in poetry. Each moment for me then is imbued with this. And when we open to it and we realize it consciously, and I think the real key here is consciously, as part of our lives, as inevitable. And when we welcome it into our homes, as it were, when we allow it to be part of who we are, then we also allow our love out. We also allow ourselves to be touched by compassion. We also allow ourselves to feel the great wholeness, because it is, of course, part of the play of the wholeness. And our experience of love, as I said earlier, but I think it's worth saying again, is really only consciously possible with the awareness of grief. As our experience of light is only really consciously possible with an awareness of darkness. The two cannot be experienced without the other. We can get a sort of second-hand version of it, second-rate version of it, a manufactured version of it. And I think for many years I knew that sort of manufactured version, but not the real version, because the real version is multi-layered. And I excuse myself for saying things like the real, because they're all real. But the more beautiful level, the more celebratory level, in the most deep sense, the sense when you just feel yourself opening and spreading out into the world, that's when all of it's allowed. And then when we know this, and when we welcome it, and when we do this, this is when we open to real life. And the deal for me, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but the deal for me is that there isn't unadulterated happiness in being human. It doesn't exist in this sense of just being up all the time, as we perceive happiness to be. And it's a false aim. And the real aim is to be imbued with all things, is to become this beautiful expression of the all things, and not to shut the doors to grief or whatever it happens to be, but grief being, I think, the most all-pervasive, the most beautiful of all. And it gives a flavour And in that, there is happiness, but it's not this up happiness. It's an acceptance of all things, of the passing, of the moment, and of love, and to allow this ebb and flow and this movement that is our lives, is each day of our life, is each breath of our lives, this in and this out, this to and this fro. And, yeah, and for me, that is where the jewels of grief are. Not perhaps tangible things that you can put a specific label to. It's a felt experience, a way of experiencing life where we're able to touch and feel and experience our lives in such a deeper way, such a more deep way. And that's more or less, I don't know whether you want to ask anything now, but that's more or less me done on that.
Neil, thank you for sharing all of that. That was amazing, beautiful. You know, I know that when I lost my mom, you know, similar, we lose somebody important in our lives, and it just hits us. And the last one I lost was my mom, which was one of the biggest for me. And I've, you know, being in the journey, doing our own processing, which we do, I've processed that and have felt wells filled with grief, endless, bottomless grief. And the grief is not only for my mother, it's for the love that I received from her. It's from the nurturing that I received from her. It's from being her daughter. It's for losing the identity in this world, in this life. And I think that, you know, grief is tied into, for me, it's tied into compassion. I've been very scared to feel compassion many times in my life. I've braced against it terribly, because if I felt compassion, I would also feel grief. And it's just been amazing to recognize the deep beauty of grief.
Yes.
The deep beauty, because grief means that there is tremendous layers of love.
Yeah.
And I really thank you for speaking on this and sharing your story, and also speaking about that it doesn't have to come from a situation, that it's just always here underlying different things that happen in our lives. So thank you so much.
Pleasure. yeah, and I do think that, you know, that, I feel that is so true, you know, that we have a feeling we always want to attribute, you know, I think it's probably games of our mind that we always want to attribute something to something. But this grief, as in love, you know, it's an aspect of love, or whatever label we want to put on it. It's just here. It's part of our existence. And, you know, for me anyway, one of the great steps, the great challenges, the great joys, or if you like, my life, is really to open more and more to this, you know, our existence. This is life. I can try and deny aspects of it. I can try and shut doors to it. I can be scared that something might hunt me down and destroy me. And all of these things are things that I've spent time in my life and still sometimes spend time in my life getting caught up in. But the one thing I notice is if you stop, breathe, open, and just let it come, there's always, always beauty in it, always, you know, a deepening in it. And that deepening is infinite, you know, not potentially. You know, because it comes from infinite.
Yeah, it's as infinite as we're allowed, as we allow it to go in our experience.
Yeah.
And it is infinite regardless, but we don't always allow ourselves to.
No.
Feel that. You know, we're just hopping along as human beings here trying to get to that infinite. And
Well, and also, you know, it's worth saying, isn't it? Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I certainly don't spend every day of my life or every moment of my life absolutely imbued with utter beauty, everything with a moment of that moment of extraordinary compassion or whatever it is. But it's there. And
yeah.
It can be opened,
yeah.
And you know, it ebbs and flows. You know,
yeah.
And the more
yeah.
more I'm open to being, it can come and go.
Yes, and the more and my recognition of it comes and goes and ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
You know how beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And I do notice actually that one of the wonderful gifts of this, and maybe it's in my journey work, but it's also in the way I relate to people, is now that when I relate to them, that ebb and flow, there is a lot in relationship in this as well, I think. You know, one of the great jewels of it is that the possibility of relationship changes, the way that you relate change, because there's an ability to feel compassion without threat, I suppose it probably is, in an open way, which just says, you know, I can just sit in present with you and allow you and me, I might be the one carping on, or they might be, but you know, there's a flow that's open through this too, that is felt, not.
Did you mention that you had a meditation that you were going to do with us today?
I can have a punt at one if you like. Yeah.
I would love it. I'm sure everybody would love it.
Okay. Well, I can certainly have a go. So, do you want me just to move into it?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, like a little children's program I used to watch. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. So. Just for anybody there, in fact, that's a good point. It's just staying just wherever you are. In fact, even if you're standing, it doesn't really matter in a sense. This is just something to just be with. So just allowing the breathing and just noticing it. It's not about changing it. It's not about making it any different. Just feel your breathing and notice it coming in and out. And I was talking about the ebb and flow, and feel the ebb and the flow of that. Notice as it comes in, it's like this great wave, or this soft wave that just can be allowed to go through your body. And normally we just perceive it into our lungs, but perhaps just perceive it as your whole body being this lung. Just feel yourself just in and out, this lovely soft, soft water going across, if you like, the beach, the sand of your body. And just feel this movement and how it just gently, gently turns you over. This, just feel this sense of softness as it goes over each cell, and each cell can feel soft and relaxed as this breathing caresses it. And we hold in ourselves, we know that we hold things in ourselves, and we know that as, and grief being one of these things, and as our cells open, these feelings, these imaginings that we've hidden away, they can be allowed to be expressed and just flowing with this great movement. So there with this breath, just being with your breath, and just now, metaphorically, in a sense, get yourself naked with this. I don't want to take you away from the meditation, but just allow yourself to be, to feel yourself as if there was nothing in the world. No clothes, no armor, no whatever you want to see it. Just letting yourself just lie there, as if you're just under the sun with this washing, with this ebb and flow of your breath. And just what if, to whatever extent you can, within this nakedness, just allow yourself to say yes to your vulnerability, this place of no defense, where you can be seen, where you can be felt, where you can see yourself, where there's no defense, none of your familiar defenses. And again, letting this wave come in and out, and just like with the sandcastle, how the sea just dissolves that away. Let yourself be that sandcastle, and the sea just to dissolve away all these parts that you're used to seeing in whatever way you do. And then wherever you are now, metaphorically again, I just want you to look out from this place and just notice all the events of your life around you. There may be ones from now, there may be ones from the past, there may be anything that comes to you. You don't have to label them or even see them in any way, but just have the intention for these events of your life to be here. And allow them to be felt. And it's just realistically just to feel the feeling of all the events of your life, your love for them, maybe your hate of them, maybe your gratitude, maybe your wish that they'd never happened. And just notice them as all part of this extraordinary path of your life, whether you label them good or bad, or indifferent for that matter. And as you do that, again, feeling this wave of your breath in and out softly across all of your life, the ebb and the flow, the dissolving into this breath, and then to this place, I want you to welcome death, the death of all of these things, all the things that have happened, will happen, are happening. I want you to welcome the coming and the going of them. Feel yourself firstly just acknowledging them and then saying goodbye to them, letting them go, and welcoming the grief that you feel, have felt, will felt. Just to welcome all grief. And any grief that the cells have been holding, any places where you've been denying it, I want you to just to give permission to those cells to let the grief come. Let it just come and consume you. Let it come and do whatever it wants. Let it be the ocean that washes the breath that comes in, comes out, that ebbs and flows. In this place, I want you to welcome your own death. Just to welcome yourself, feeling yourself just dissolving away in this great breath. Any notions of who you are, any notions of your life, the things you do, the things you have to do. Just to feel yourself dying to all of that. Feel yourself saying goodbye to it, to your life. Held dear in even everything that you've hated, or everything that means nothing to you. And just saying a goodbye to all of it, this great, extraordinary, amazing thing that we call life, that we may experience as a positive, a negative, we may lightly experience as both. And welcome the grief that you feel as you say goodbye to it. Have felt, welcome all grief in this moment of your dissolution, of your going. And then allow and welcome all grief. Nothing else. Just all grief. Gentle, not harsh. And just like this great sea, this great breath that has been washing over you. I want you to go into that sea, into that ocean, into that grief, into that breath. And just follow yourself into the middle of it. Right into the middle of this beautiful ocean. And there where there's no land, where there's only this water around you, this grief, just deep into its heart. Feeling yourself as you're deepening and deepening into the grief. And there, on the bed of this grief, of this ocean, of this breath, notice an oyster. It's an extraordinary, beautiful oyster. And just open it. Or see it opening. And see the pearl, this beautiful pearl, shining in the core, inside this oyster. I want you to reach out and touch it. And feel it. And sense it, and feel it now in all of yourselves. Feel this beautiful, perfect pearl. Reach out and hold it. Hold it in your hands. Feel it as you take it with you up to the surface, shining. Feel it shining inside you, outside of you. This perfect, pristine, beautiful pearl. And there, just feel this grief transforming as this beautiful, beautiful shining pearl shines its light onto it. The grief is still there, but feel how it becomes, its essence changes. Feel how it changes, and I mean feel, just notice in your body, and shine this pearl, open it everywhere, above the water, below the water, everywhere this light is shining into the grief, through the grief, the love. And the grief is transformed, changes, but not denied. It's still there. It's still there, but it's out in the light. And just let yourself breathe into that and dissolve yourself into this extraordinary light and grief. And as you do so, into this death of thoughts, to thank the world, to thank everything. Thank your life. Thank everything that has ever happened. If you can or not, it's not an obligation, but a great thank you to this wonderful, exceptional, extraordinary gift that you've been given. And then accept somewhere in you all that has passed, all that will pass, all that has passed. And just be aware of this coming and the going and the tide and the breath, ebbing and flowing, everything passing, everything returning, everything moving. And just breathe deeply the ebb and the flow. The ebb and the flow. And breathe deeply. And then, looking at it, holding that pearl, and if it feels right for you, bring it gently, gently into your heart. This great light merging with your light. This great love merging with your love. And breathe in with it other thanks. And breathe in this thanks, this gratitude, and breathe out this thanks, this gratitude. And sense the merging of all things in this thanks, in this gratitude, in this. Feel the grief and the love in each breath. The in-breath, the love. And perhaps the out-breath, the grief. Or perhaps just in each breath, the in-breath, both love and grief together. The out-breath, just love and grief together. And notice how they merge, how in this breath is life. And it's yours now. What beauty in your life. What incredible beauty. And just in this place, as long as you feel you want to be there, may I talk about it just now, whenever you're ready, whenever the moment's ready for you, and it may be now, and it may be just allowing yourself to feel this breath again, the wash and the flow of the ocean, and noticing this movement, this aliveness, and this glorious separation coming out of this ocean, out of this breath, this glorious life, this individual life that you are, and just breathing and feeling and waking and opening to your life as it is. And yeah. And just welcome back. Welcome into your life. There's a bit of a phone going.
And a wonderful laugh.
Yeah.
So thank you, dear Neil, for coming on and for being who you are and for sharing with us what you have. That was a beautiful meditation. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to wish everybody a good night or a good day if you're listening to the replays. And thank you, Neil. Thank you. You guys, Neil has a website, neildelstrother.uk. Help me out here. .uk.
Delstrother.co.uk, yeah.
Oh, neildelstrother.uk.
We're doing well.
No, no, neildelstrother.co.uk. Oh, .co.uk.
Yeah,
and if you want to read more about him, we'll be having your web page up soon on the Nightly Healing website. So until then, you guys, you can just, you know, email me, victoria@nightlyhealing.com, and I'll get you in touch with Neil, and I'll put you in touch with his website. And his books are beautiful. So thank you. Thank you very much, Neil. You are the best.
Thank you so much.
Hold on just one moment. I'm going to. Good night, everybody. Good night. Good night.